We'll circle back to it, but as promised, we're joined by Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston. He's brought to you by Drains by James. At Drains by James, they give a poop about your pipes. And Tommy Curran, as I said, joins us here on the Harbor One Hotline. What's going on, Tommy? You taking in some college hoops here, day one of the tourney?
I have been. You guys taking any winners out there?
Arcan told me I think Arcan had a winner in his bracket. He was bold and went with like a 10 seed, I think.
Yes.
He said. Yeah, he went
I got
way
Michigan
out on a limb.
State too, so.
Oh, that's what it was. He had a 9 seed over an 8, Tom. It was very bold.
That's how to walk that shaky limb, Christian.
I know. It's hard to. Genius walks alone, but I'm out there.
So Tom, we played a clip from you the other day about and we've talked about this with you a lot. You know, this team isn't ready. The soil isn't fertile, I believe is how you put it. And you like the Niners model of building things up, dropping in a quarterback. You referenced some of the greatest quarterbacks of all time not being first-round picks. Why do you feel that way? And how long is that approach realistically going to take? Because that's what scares me about your approach. Because you can hit on a quarterback high and turbocharge this thing. It's a crapshoot either way on the quarterback. So I'd rather go with the quicker plan than the one that might take 2, 3, 4 years.
See, I don't think that is the quicker plan, bringing in the quarterback, unless he's transcendent and he's going to be a tide that lifts all boats. To me, unless you have that player, and Jaden Daniels has a greater likelihood of being that, I think, than Drake May because of his unique skill set. But to me, if you have a wide receiver and a left tackle and you take a secondary corner opposite Gonzalez, then you're in a much better position to put a quarterback in a plug and play. If you spend all your artillery at number 3 on a guy who, hey, we got to do this. Everybody says he's the guy, and when you're up this high, you never know when you're going to be here again. That's the easy thing to do. But the thing that would really turbocharge this would be to surround the entire offense and have it dotted with good players, as opposed to having average or sub-average players in multiple positions and trying to solve those positions when we watch a player who might be good flounder because he's not getting the protection or he's not getting the separation, or the offense hasn't settled in because you have a new OC and a new head coach. To me, the smarter thing to do would be to give yourself more draft collateral going forward. So if you want to be mobile next year, if Quinn Ewers turns into the can't-miss prospect, then you have multiple first-round picks next year as well, because that's the bounty to move up and go ahead and get him.
So, Tom, I don't want to ask you to speak ill of our buddy Phil Perry, but he did have a take last night with Trenny talking about how strongly he felt about Drake May compared to other quarterbacks in this draft. If Drake May is the quarterback that's available at 3, how are you feeling today about his fit with the Patriots as we see them now?
Everything about Drake May to me indicates that there is a lot of polishing that needs to go on, whether it's Kurt Warner or Lance Zierlein talking to Phil. Chase Daniel, former quarterback, put out a really interesting evaluation today that you can find. All of them talk about the promise of the kid. And when you talk about what do you want in a quarterback here in New England, you absolutely need resilience and leadership. And I think Mac Jones actually, in the Patriots' minds, checked those boxes in terms of competitiveness, resilience, and leadership, but they burned him out so badly that he turned into trash. I think the Drake May ceiling is higher because he's got a better arm. He's a bigger player, probably runs better than Mac Jones. But to me, you're going to have an apprentice here with that quarterback. Even if he comes in week 6, week 4, he's not going to look great, and he's going to have his growth stunted by being in that situation. So now you've burned 1 year of his rookie contract, which we know is incredibly important in the economics of the NFL. So to me, I'm not saying Drake May can't play. I'm just saying when you take somebody at number 3 and it's a quarterback, you better be sure that it's not Sam Darnold. You better be sure you're not putting him in a Baker Mayfield situation, which is what Cleveland did. And, you know, he turns into a vagabond.
Tom, do you have any reason to believe that ownership and the front office, and I know it's sort of a fluid front office right now, guys not exactly signed up long term, but do you have any reason to believe that maybe not everyone's all on the same page about what to do with this pick or how to treat it?
I think their default continues to be quarterback, and they would have to be moved off that spot by things that they see that would dissuade them. Could that thing be an offer from the Minnesota Vikings? That could be, but I think there's still definitely in their evaluation. May has his pro day next week. They'll do all the work on Daniels, I'm sure. Williams seems like a fait accompli. And then they'll look at J.J. McCarthy, who I think goes this week, and look at all those players and say, okay, is one of these guys the answer? And then we address wide receiver in the second round. And to me, that with a wide receiver draft the way it is and the offensive tackle draft, you have the chance to fill two premium 2024 NFL needs with rookies. And to say, maybe it works with this guy, we should do this, is, I don't think it's the shrewdest way to do it. But I do think that they would have to be moved off their spot, and their default is quarterback right now.
Does their approach in free agency, I know we talked about you, or talked to you rather, about the lack of a Ridley signing, the lack of extending themselves on Calvin Ridley last week. Does their approach to free agency tell you that they are going to slow play this? Does it tell you anything about how they play the pick at number three?
Honestly, it tells me that they didn't love the free agent class and that the free agents didn't love them to a large extent. And I can't blame either side for feeling that way. You know, if you're Tyron Smith, you're aspiring to win a Super Bowl, having been in Dallas, being an older player. Same thing with Ridley. Are you going to go up to New England and have TBD at quarterback, or, you know, and you still have that in Tennessee? But you're going to make $92 million, stay in the South, and not go to a team that, you know, you're not sure exactly what they're going to be, and probably have to pay more in taxes, et cetera, than you would in Tennessee, definitely would. So if what tells me is their swings and misses in free agency would even lead me more to believe that the way to do it then is to force players to come here. I wrote something about that earlier this week. They're not going to come here by choice. You have to force them. The only way to force them is by drafting them.
Okay, but what about the trade market? There was a little smoke out there yesterday that they may be looking at veteran wideouts, somebody that they could bring through the trade market. How realistic is that to you, especially considering the draft capital that they hold, that you would have to assume that they would give up for one of these receivers if they could even get them to shake loose in a trade?
Yeah, I think it's realistic in that they're going to consider it. We keep hearing, and Greg Bedard said that Elliot Wolf intends to be aggressive. Don't be surprised if he is in that market. Again, opinion-wise, I think giving up a premium pick, first or second rounder, for a T. Higgins or a Brandon Ayuk, you're then going to have to turn around and sign him to a contract that will dwarf Calvin Ridley's. And then on top of that, you've given up draft collateral. You're now paying him a ton. And what if he says, no, I'm not going to re-sign with you guys? He runs the risk then of seeing his numbers go down from 90 catches to 60 catches and 900 yards instead of 1,200 yards. So I think you might get resistance from the players who they would trade for coming here. I mean, they'll come, I'm sure. I wouldn't think otherwise. That doesn't generally happen. But with a wide receiver heavy draft, why do you want to go and sign somebody you have to give $65 million in guaranteed money to when you can get a guy in a rookie contract if you trade down? Trade down, get your wide receiver. Trade down, get your offensive tackle. I don't love the Jacoby Brissett for an entire year. I'm sure you guys don't either. That's why I think the Justin Fields thing was a little bit of a miss, especially after the free agent market settled. You know, so, I mean, I could see them trying to make that move, but I think it's foolhardy, and to me it's a little rudderless. Pick a lane. Which one are you going to be?
Tom, we saw a dinner with Kendrick Bourne celebrating his new contract and Bailey Zappe making a little speech there for him. It seems like the players really like Bailey Zappe, and he's very much still here and still on the roster. Is there a place for Bailey Zappe on this team next year?
Yeah, third. Hopefully. I mean,
so not QB1.
I mean, we got enough intel last year about Bailey Zappe and his extended play at the position. He's not better than Drake May. He's not better than Jacoby Brissett. So to me, he would slot in at third, and I think that's probably where most people would conclude that he probably belongs. Do you feel differently?
I mean, look, I'd rather watch Zappe than Brissett. I mean, Brissett couldn't get off the bench last year in Washington, so I would rather – I'd at least like to see a battle between those two. If you're not starting the number three pick or you're trading back and you're waiting on your quarterback, I personally would rather see Zappe, but I'm probably in the minority there.
Yeah, I'd be open to it. I'd be open to seeing the improvement that he makes, because nobody's a closed book by 24 or 25. His third year in the league, maybe he plays better with less dysfunction in the offensive room. I'm not, but everything we've seen so far through 2 years is he's got significant limitations. So, and so does Jacoby Brissett. You're right.
All right, he's Tommy Curran. He joins us each and every Thursday here on Jones and Mega with Arcan on WEEI. Tom, we appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of the opening day of the tournament here.
All right, stay lucky.
Thanks, Tommy.
Tommy Curran, as all our guests, joins us on the Harbor One Hotline. We are live at the BetMGM Sportsbook inside MGM Springfield for day one of the NCAA tournament. Arcan boldly going where few go, picking a 9 seed over an 8. So a good start for Arcan
also
here today.
Also Morehead State, and they're leading Illinois right now.
Morehead
right.
State, yes.
14
four,
over 3.
4 minute with a mere 36 minutes left in that game. Morehead State is up by 2 on Illinois. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that goes. We'll continue with your feedback and the
Hold
Patriots
the line.
Approach to free agency mixed in with all of your phone calls on Shohei Ohtani, the Patriots' offseason. We'll get to you next.